Of course, we've heard it again and again during this historic campaign. Something is in play in this election. That's why we're thrilled to have Marcus Mabry, editor at the New York Times, with us. During this long campaign, far from being bored and tuned out, American voters seem to be more engaged than ever and having a growing interest in the campaign as time goes on. Well, what does that mean? Well, at the very least, it seems the language of political discourse itself may be in play, for the simple reason that you speak differently to people who are listening to you than you do to people who are tuned out. So if we're to look at how language matters in this election and which candidate has been able to take advantage of it, we turn now to writer Steve Almond. His latest book is Not That You Ask, a collection of essays and opinions about all things political and linguistic. Joining us from Boston, Steve Almond, thanks for being with us.
Sure, great to be here.
How is the language in play? And as I said, you talk differently to people who are listening and engaged than people who are, you know, tuned out and sort of wandering around not paying any attention.
Wandering around like wandering around on stage during a debate.
There you go. There you go. You said it. I didn't.
That's right. Well, but I'm a language expert. That's right. And actually, I think that's one of those moments where there's a physical thing happening that's reflecting in a weird way, but a kind of powerful, unconscious way, the thing that was happening with the language in those debates. You know, Obama began his political career with this ability to inspire. That's what he was famous for. And I think he keyed in on the fact that people on the left in the primaries were ready for a kind of overt compassion and idealism and lofty rhetoric. But as we've gone into the general election, I think he's really very shrewdly switched tack with the way he uses language. And the McCain-Palin campaign have shown a real inability to figure out what the unstated and sometimes unconscious rhetorical needs of the electorate are. I think of it as voters sort of come to the polls and come to the narrative of the campaign in the same way that readers come to books. They have unstated and sometimes unconscious rhetorical needs.
And they're willing to sit with it for a while as opposed to the soundbite era where it's all over in 20 seconds. Do you think in a moment where voters are engaged and focused on issues and problem solving, which it seems that has been the case, certainly since the economic crisis, you know, reared its ugly head, that soundbites are dead?
Well, I don't think soundbites are dead, but I absolutely agree that people are not focused on, you know, McCain had his I'm not Bush line, and it didn't register at all. I think, you know, if you look back to 2004, the Bush campaign said, how can we go at this? We're sort of wrong on the policies. People aren't excited about this war anymore. And they were able to portray Kerry as a flip-flopper, and Kerry's language, I was before this, before I was against it, really reinforced that underlying sort of character portrayal. They've been completely unable, the McCain campaign has been completely unable to do that with Obama, because while they're trying to make him out as some sort of dangerous, extreme, flighty celebrity, whatever the latest accusation is, Obama's language has been, if you'll notice, it hasn't been aggrandized. It's been very practical, very almost wonky and professorial. So there's this disjunction. The other thing that you mentioned is voters are really listening for specifics, for concrete solutions to the problems they're facing. They're not listening for the emotional appeal.
And soundbites don't cut it in that situation. Marcus, are you seeing that one candidate is better at articulating problem solving and the other is maybe sort of missing what the electorate's ears are tuned to?
John certainly has looked that way. I was struck again by looking at McCain's interviews over the weekend. He still doesn't seem to even be telling voters what his goals are, why he should be president. He keeps saying taxes, 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 and he looks literally, another charge his opponents have leveled at him is that he's erratic. His language seems to be erratic. He doesn't complete sentences. He starts a thought. He doesn't give a complete thought.
Didn't hurt George Bush Sr. not completing sentences.
And that's interesting. I'd love to hear what we think of that.
Steve, what do you think? What do you think? George Bush Sr. didn't complete sentences. He wasn't a grammarian.
Look, this is a time when people are, if you listen to the debates, during the debate, this fella said to Obama, well, what does the bailout mean for me? He asked both candidates. And McCain did what he always does, as Marcus pointed out. He jumped around from one idea to another, and he made these kind of bald assertions. I'll fix it. Social Security, I just fixed that. Didn't you see me fix that? I know how to fix it, my friends. And that kind of unstated sort of assertion of competence isn't cutting it. Obama, by contrast, said, okay, here's what's happening. Here's what the bailout really means to you. If the credit markets freeze up, banks can't lend money, businesses are going to fail, they're going to lay people off. That's what we're facing.
But
and people really...
No, go ahead. People, I get what you're saying. People are responding to one and not the other. Is this a note for speech teachers to take into consideration at the conclusion of this election, or is the electorate itself in motion in a way that we haven't seen in a while?
I think it's the electorate. I mean, there's a real fault line in this election. When the economy started to go south in a serious way, that was the dominant issue. And even though people aren't yet, and I hope they won't, massively lose jobs and end up in real turmoil on quote-unquote Main Street, there was a real sense that a dark time was coming, and in response to that, who was going to be president and specifically what they want to do was the foremost issue. Character stuff, I think, got thrown out the window, and people started listening with a very different set of concerns that were, who is the most competent and steady in trying to solve these problems that are coming down the pike?
All right, well,
that's an
interesting set of themes there. Steve Allman wrote the book, Not That You Asked, a collection of essays. He spoke with us about the political discourse in America from Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks, Steve.
Sure.
So the takeaway there is that words do matter.
Indeed.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.